The Final Descent. Chapter 1, The Shattered World. The Call That Changed Everything. Daniel Harper's hands were steady as he worked in his workshop. The rhythmic buzz of the table saw filled the air, drowning out the world beyond the wooden walls of his sanctuary. The rocking chair he was crafting for a neighbor's new baby was nearly finished, its smooth curves a testament to years of skill. The workshop was where Daniel found peace, a retreat from the chaos of the world. But tonight, an unease gnawed at him. The saw's buzz faded as he turned it off, wiping the sweat from his brow. The silence that followed felt too loud. His phone vibrated on the workbench, its harsh buzz cutting through the quiet. Daniel frowned, picking it up. The screen displayed Deputy Sullivan. He didn't want to answer. A call from the deputy this late couldn't be good. But something in his gut told him he had to. "Yeah," Daniel said, his voice gruff. "Daniel." Sullivan's tone was low, heavy. "I need you to come down to Clearwater Park." Daniel's stomach dropped. "What's this about?" "It's Ethan." The phone nearly slipped from Daniel's hand. The nightmare at Clearwater Park. Clearwater Park was a place of memories for Daniel. He'd taken Ethan there countless times as a boy, teaching him to skip stones and climb trees. But tonight, it felt like a place stolen from his past, a crime scene drenched in sorrow and dread. The flashing lights of police cars greeted him as he arrived. Shadows danced across the tall oaks, their bare branches clawing at the night sky. Deputy Sullivan stood near the creek, his face pale under the harsh lights. "Where's my son?" Daniel demanded, his voice shaking. Sullivan didn't answer immediately. He glanced toward the creek, where several officers were gathered. "Daniel," he said softly, "you don't want to see this." Daniel pushed past him, his boots sinking into the damp earth. The officers stepped aside, their expressions heavy with pity. And there he was. Ethan's body lay tangled in the roots of an old tree, his arms splayed unnaturally, his face swollen and bruised. The water had leached the color from his skin, leaving him ghostly pale. Daniel dropped to his knees, a strangled cry escaping his throat. His hands trembled as he reached out, barely able to touch Ethan's cold cheek. This wasn't a robbery," Daniel whispered. Sullivan knelt beside him. "We think he surprised someone during a mugging. They—" "No," Daniel cut him off. His eyes burned with fury. This wasn't random. A house haunted by grief. The days following Ethan's death blurred together in a haze of sorrow and anger. The house felt like a tomb, each room echoing with the absence of his son. Ethan's sneakers still sat by the door, mud caked on the soles from their last hike together. His jacket hung over the back of a chair, faintly carrying the scent of his cologne. Daniel avoided Ethan's room at first, afraid of what he might feel stepping inside. But on the third night, unable to bear the weight of his loss, he pushed open the door. The air inside was stale, untouched since the last time Ethan had been there. Schoolbooks were scattered across the desk, alongside sketches for furniture designs Ethan had been working on. A half-finished model airplane sat on the windowsill, its wings lopsided. Daniel sat on the edge of the bed, his hands clutching the blanket. His chest heaved as memories flooded in: Ethan's laughter, his complaints about homework, his dreams of one day opening a workshop of his own. As Daniel's eyes scanned the room, something caught his attention. Beneath the desk, faint scratches marred the wood. He leaned closer, his heart pounding. Carved into the underside of the desk were the words, "Jared M." The first clue. The name etched into the desk ignited a spark in Daniel's mind. He didn't know a Jared M., but Ethan had deliberately carved it there. He rummaged through Ethan's belongings, searching for anything that might explain the name. His search turned up little: a few scattered notes, half-written homework assignments, and an old comic book. Frustrated, Daniel opened Ethan's laptop. The screen lit up, and after a few failed password attempts, he tried Ethan's birthdate. The laptop unlocked. In Ethan's email drafts, Daniel found a single unsent message. "Jared, I know what you did. You're going to pay for this." Daniel's breath hitched. This wasn't just a robbery gone wrong. Ethan had been involved in something bigger, something that had led to his murder. The funeral and whispers of guilt. The funeral was a blur of faces and condolences Daniel didn't want to hear. The church was filled with mourners, their whispers like needles prickling his skin. "Such a tragedy," one woman murmured. "I heard it was gang-related," another voice said. Daniel clenched his fists, his nails digging into his palms. He felt the weight of their stares, their judgment. As the service ended, an older man approached him. "Mr. Harper, I'm sorry for your loss. But I think Ethan was looking into something dangerous. You should check the docs." "The docs?" Daniel repeated, confused. The man nodded. "That's where the trouble started. A midnight visit." Daniel couldn't ignore the man's words. That night, he drove to the docks, the air heavy with the scent of salt and decay. The area was quiet, but one warehouse was lit, its windows glowing faintly. Daniel crept closer, his footsteps silent against the damp ground. Inside, he saw three men unloading crates from a truck. Their conversation was muffled, but one name stood out: Ellis. Daniel's blood ran cold. Connor Ellis was a local businessman with a spotless public image, but rumors of his criminal dealings had swirled for years. "We need to clean this up," one of the men said. "What about the kid?" another asked. "He's already taken care of," the first man replied. Daniel's heart pounded. They were talking about Ethan. The line between grief and fury. The drive home was a blur. Daniel's mind raced with questions, his grief overshadowed by a growing rage. In his workshop, he spread out everything he'd found: Ethan's notes, the carved name, the email draft. The pieces didn't fit yet, but Daniel knew one thing: Jared M. and Connor Ellis were connected, and they had answers. Daniel stared at the photograph on his workbench, him and Ethan at the lake, holding up a fish they'd caught together. "I won't let them get away with this," he muttered, his voice a low growl. Chapter 2, The Darkness Beneath. Grief turns to obsession. The morning after his visit to the docks, Daniel Harper sat at his kitchen table, the evidence from Ethan's belongings spread before him like a map to a world he didn't understand. His hands rested on the edges of Ethan's notebook, his fingers tracing the words written in his son's careful script. "Jared knows. Docs equals danger. Ellis involved." The name Connor Ellis echoed in his mind. He wasn't just a name on paper, he was a presence in Ashton Hollow, a man who operated above reproach. Connor's wealth came from an empire of investments, but to anyone who paid attention, the cracks were obvious. Businesses under his control often burned down for insurance money, competitors mysteriously vanished, and the police always looked the other way. Daniel's jaw clenched. His son had stumbled into something far bigger than he could handle, and it had cost him his life. But it wouldn't end there. The name Jared M. Daniel's first task was to uncover Jared M.'s identity. He combed through social media, local directories, and even school yearbooks for any mention of the name. Hours passed with no results, frustration mounting in his chest like a coiled spring. Finally, in an old news article buried deep in an online archive, he found it. "Local drug dealer arrested in connection to high school ring," the headline read. Beneath it, a grainy photo showed a wiry young man with a tattoo curling up the side of his neck. His name was listed as Jared Morgan. Daniel leaned back, the chair creaking beneath him. The article was from 2 years ago, but Jared had been released on a technicality. Rumors claimed he was back in Ashton Hollow, operating as a low-level enforcer for someone higher up. Daniel pulled out his phone and called the only person he thought might know more: Kyle Barker, Ethan's classmate and the last person to see him alive. Kyle's warning. Kyle didn't answer right away, but when he did, his voice was laced with hesitation. "Mr. Harper."
"Yeah, Kyle, it's me. I need to talk to you."
There was a long pause. "I already told you everything at the funeral." Daniel's grip on the phone tightened.
"No, you didn't. You told me to stay out of it.
That's not happening. I found Jared Morgan's name. Ethan wrote it down.
What does it mean?"
Kyle's breath hitched on the other end.
"Look, Ethan, he was digging where he shouldn't have.
Jared's bad news, okay? You don't want to get involved."
"I don't have a choice," Daniel said, his voice low.
"Now, tell me what you know."
Kyle sighed.
"Jared used to sell drugs at the school. Ethan thought he was still dealing, but it was bigger than that. He said Jared was working for someone named Ellis." The confirmation hit Daniel like a blow to the chest.
"Where can I find him?"
"Rusty's bar," Kyle muttered reluctantly.
"But, Mr. Harper, please, don't do anything stupid."
Daniel ended the call without responding.
The bar.
Rusty's bar was a dilapidated dive on the outskirts of Ashton Hollow. The neon sign flickered erratically, buzzing faintly in the cold night air. Daniel parked his truck down the street and approached on foot, his breath visible in the chilly air. Inside, the place reeked of spilled beer and cigarette smoke, the dim lighting casting long shadows across the cracked walls. At the far end of the bar, Jared Morgan sat nursing a drink, his eyes darting nervously around the room. Daniel walked straight to him, his boots heavy against the sticky floor. Jared looked up as he approached, his face twisting in confusion.
"Who the hell are you?"
Jared asked, his voice sharp.
Daniel didn't answer.
He grabbed Jared by the front of his shirt and slammed him against the wall, the sound drawing startled gasps from the other patrons.
"You knew my son," Daniel growled, his voice low and dangerous.
"Ethan Harper." Jared's eyes widened, his face pale.
"Look, man, I don't know what you're talking about."
Daniel shoved him harder.
"Don't lie to me.
He's dead because of you." Jared's lips trembled, but he held his hands up defensively.
"I didn't kill him.
I swear."
"But you know who did," Daniel spat, his grip tightening.
Jared looked around the room, his panic growing.
"Let me go, man. You don't know what you're getting into."
"Tell me about Ellis," Daniel demanded.
Jared's face twisted in fear.
"Ellis doesn't like loose ends.
You think I'm scared of you?
You should be scared of him." Daniel's fist slammed into the wall next to Jared's head, making him flinch.
"Start talking, or I'll make you wish you'd never met him."
Jared hesitated, then finally muttered, "Fine. But not here. Meet me at the old train yard tomorrow night. A haunting discovery." When Daniel arrived at the train yard the next night, the place was deserted. The rusted tracks stretched into the distance, their lines disappearing into the dense fog. The faint creak of metal filled the air, carried by a cold wind that seemed to whisper warnings. Jared was late. Daniel paced the empty lot, his breath puffing in the freezing air. Something felt wrong, a weight in his chest pressing harder with each passing second. Then he saw it, a figure slumped against one of the old train cars.
"Jared?"
Daniel called, his voice echoing. He moved closer, his footsteps crunching on the gravel. As he approached, his stomach churned. Jared's body was sprawled unnaturally, his head tilted at an impossible angle. Blood pooled beneath him, soaking into the dirt. His eyes stared blankly at the sky, frozen in a mask of terror. Daniel staggered back, his heart pounding. Written in blood on the side of the train car were the words,
"Stop digging.
The lines blur." Back in his workshop, Daniel paced restlessly, his mind racing. Jared was dead, silenced before he could reveal the truth. Whoever had killed him wasn't just covering their tracks, they were sending a message. But Daniel didn't scare easily. He stared at the photo of Ethan on his workbench, his jaw tightening.
You wanted me to finish what you started, he whispered. I'm not stopping now.
Chapter 3, The Shadows Tighten.
The Weight of the Warning. Daniel Harper stared at the bloodied message scrawled on the side of the train car.
Stop digging.
Jared Morgan's lifeless body slumped against the metal, his face frozen in terror. The sight burned itself into Daniel's mind as he staggered backward, bile rising in his throat. The metallic tang of blood filled the cold night air, mingling with the distant hum of traffic and the creak of the train yard's rusting machinery. But it wasn't fear that consumed Daniel. It was fury. Someone wanted him to stop. Someone thought they could scare him off with blood and threats. They didn't know who they were dealing with.
The police don't listen.
The following morning, Daniel walked into the Ashton Hollow Police Department, the sharp chill of the air still clinging to his jacket. Deputy Sullivan was leaning against the counter, sipping a cup of coffee. His eyes widened when he saw Daniel.
Harper. What are you doing here?
Daniel slammed a grainy photo onto the counter, a picture he'd taken of the message on the train car before leaving the scene.
This, Daniel said, his voice tight with anger.
Jared Morgan is dead. I found him like this last night.
Sullivan's brow furrowed as he picked up the photo.
Morgan? That lowlife? What were you doing out there?
Daniel leaned in, his fists clenched.
Jared was the last person my son talked to before he died. He promised me answers, and now he's dead too.
This isn't a coincidence.
Sullivan sighed, setting the photo down.
Look, Daniel, I get that you're grieving, but you shouldn't be out there playing detective.
Leave this to us.
Leave it to you.
Daniel spat.
You couldn't even solve Ethan's murder.
And now another body's dropped, and you're telling me to sit back.
Sullivan's expression hardened.
This isn't some small-town mystery you can solve with gut feelings, Harper.
If Morgan's dead, it's probably tied to the people he ran with.
Dangerous people.
Let us handle it.
Daniel stared at him for a long moment, his jaw tight.
You're not going to do anything, are you?
Sullivan didn't answer.
That's what I thought, Daniel said, turning on his heel and walking out.
The Whispering Town. As Daniel drove through Ashton Hollow, he noticed the way people watched him. Neighbors who once greeted him with warm smiles now looked away or whispered behind their hands. He stopped at the diner for coffee, and the room fell silent as he walked in. Marlene, the waitress, offered him a strained smile as she handed him his mug.
Rough night? She asked gently.
You could say that, Daniel replied, his eyes scanning the room. At the counter, two men were whispering loudly enough for Daniel to hear snippets.
Heard Harper's poking around the Ellis mess.
They're gonna bury him like they did his kid.
Daniel's hands tightened around the coffee mug until the ceramic threatened to crack.
He stood abruptly, the chair scraping against the floor.
The two men fell silent, their faces pale as Daniel's glare bore into them.
Something you want to say to me?
Daniel growled.
The men shook their heads, their gazes dropping to the counter.
That's what I thought, Daniel muttered, throwing a few bills on the table before storming out.
The docks revisited.
The docks loomed in the distance as Daniel parked his truck in a shadowed alley.
He hadn't planned to return so soon, but the police's inaction and the town's whispers left him with no choice.
This time, he came prepared, a flashlight, a crowbar, and a determination that outweighed his fear.
The warehouse where he'd first spotted Jared and the others was silent now, its windows dark.
Daniel approached cautiously, his footsteps muffled by the damp ground.
The door was locked, but a few hard strikes with the crowbar broke the rusted padlock.
The interior was cold and smelled of mildew.
Crates were stacked haphazardly, their labels vague and unhelpful, supplies, and fragile.
Daniel pried one open.
Inside, he found rows of tightly packed bricks wrapped in plastic.
He pulled one out, his heart pounding as he realized what he was holding, drugs.
Ethan had been right.
The docks were the heart of a massive drug operation.
But as Daniel turned to leave, a faint sound stopped him in his tracks, a soft creak, like a footstep. "Who's there?" he called, his voice echoing in the cavernous space. Silence. Daniel's grip tightened on the crowbar as he moved through the shadows. The dim beam of his flashlight swept across the room, catching glimpses of rusted machinery and broken pallets. Then he saw it, a shadow darting between the crates. "Show yourself," Daniel demanded. The figure didn't respond. Instead, a voice echoed from the darkness. "You shouldn't have come back. The fight in the dark." The first blow came from behind, catching Daniel in the ribs and sending him stumbling forward. He spun around, swinging the crowbar blindly, but his attacker was fast. Another hit landed on his shoulder, and Daniel dropped to one knee, his flashlight clattering to the floor. In the dim light, he saw a masked figure advancing on him, a pipe raised high. Adrenaline surged through Daniel as he rolled to the side, narrowly avoiding the next strike. He swung the crowbar again, this time connecting with the figure's knee. The attacker cried out, collapsing to the ground. Daniel didn't hesitate. He grabbed the flashlight and bolted for the door, his breath ragged. Behind him, the figure struggled to stand, cursing loudly. As Daniel reached his truck, the weight of what he discovered, and narrowly survived, pressed down on him. This wasn't just about Ethan anymore. He was in over his head, but there was no turning back. A new threat. That night, as Daniel sat in his workshop piecing together what he'd found, his phone buzzed. The number was unknown, but he answered anyway. "You're a stubborn man, Harper," a voice said, smooth and menacing. "Who is this?" Daniel demanded. "You've made a lot of noise," the voice continued. "Jared warned you. The train yard was your last warning. Walk away, or you'll end up just like your son." The line went dead before Daniel could respond. For a long moment, he stared at the phone, his heart pounding. Then, slowly, he placed it on the table and picked up the crowbar, his grip tightening. "Come for me," he muttered. "I'll be ready." Chapter 4, The Hunters Become the Hunted. The attack on home. The warning call had left Daniel Harper on edge. He didn't sleep that night, pacing his workshop as adrenaline coursed through him. He was acutely aware of every creak in the floorboards, every distant noise from outside. By dawn, exhaustion tugged at him, but he refused to let his guard down. His instincts told him the voice on the phone hadn't been bluffing. They wanted to scare him into silence. But they underestimated him. It wasn't until mid-morning that he ventured back into the house, the smell of coffee filling the air as he brewed a pot. He stood by the window, his gaze fixed on the road outside. That's when he saw it. A dark SUV idled across the street, its tinted windows gleaming under the weak sunlight. It hadn't been there last night. Daniel's chest tightened as he stepped closer to the window. The engine revved, and the SUV pulled away slowly, disappearing down the street. He couldn't shake the feeling that it wasn't a coincidence. That evening, as Daniel locked up the workshop and prepared for another long night of vigilance, he noticed something strange. The porch light flickered erratically, and the air felt colder than usual. Pushing the door open, he froze. Scrawled across the walls of his living room in thick, red paint were the words. "Still digging." The paint dripped onto the hardwood floor, forming small pools that resembled blood. The stench of chemicals filled his nostrils, and his heart pounded as he scanned the room. Someone had been here. Daniel grabbed the crowbar he'd left by the door and swept through the house, his every sense on high alert. Each creak of the floorboards made his pulse race, but the house was empty. They weren't trying to kill him, yet. They wanted him to know they could get to him whenever they wanted. A deadly ally. Daniel needed help, but trusting the police was out of the question. Sullivan's dismissive attitude had made it clear they wouldn't go against Ellis and his network. Instead, he turned to the only person he thought might have answers, Luke Ryder, a former private investigator who'd retired after a scandal involving Ellis. Daniel found him at a rundown bar outside of town, nursing a glass of whiskey in a dim corner booth.
"Harper," Luke said, his voice gravelly. "Didn't think I'd see you here."
"I didn't think I'd be here either," Daniel admitted, sliding into the booth across from him.
"I need your help."
Luke smirked, taking a slow sip of his drink.
"Help with what?"
"Ellis." The smirk vanished, replaced by a look of wary curiosity.
"Why the hell are you poking that bear?"
Daniel leaned forward, his voice low.
"They killed my son, Luke. Ethan was investigating something, and now they're coming after me."
Luke's expression darkened. He set his glass down and rubbed a hand over his stubbled jaw.
"You don't want to go down this road. Ellis has connections everywhere. Cops, judges, even the damn mayor. You think you're gonna take him on alone?"
"I don't care how powerful he is," Daniel growled.
"He took my son. I'm not stopping until he pays for it."
Luke studied him for a long moment, then nodded slowly.
"All right. But you need to understand something, this isn't just about Ellis. He's part of something bigger. If you're serious about this, you're gonna see things that'll make you wish you'd stayed out of it."
"I'm not afraid," Daniel said, his voice steady.
"Good," Luke replied. "Because once we start, there's no going back. The network."
Luke's first move was to give Daniel a crash course on how Ellis's operation worked.
"Ellis isn't your average crime boss," Luke explained as they pored over maps and notes in Daniel's workshop.
"He runs a network, a spiderweb of dealers, enforcers, and front businesses. The docks are just one piece of it. You cut one strand, and the rest keep moving."
"But Jared Morgan was part of that strand," Daniel said.
"And they silenced him."
"Exactly," Luke replied. "They don't kill their own unless they think it's absolutely necessary.
Jared must have known something big."
Daniel stared at the map, his jaw tightening.
"Then we find out what he knew.
The surveillance. Their plan was simple: stake out one of Ellis's known locations and see who came and went."
Luke and Daniel parked a block away from a warehouse on the outskirts of town, hidden in the shadows of an abandoned gas station. Through binoculars, they watched as cars pulled up to the building, their occupants unloading crates and meeting with men in suits.
"Recognize anyone?" Daniel asked.
Luke adjusted the binoculars, his eyes narrowing.
"That's Ellis's right-hand man, Carter. If he's here, something important's going down."
As the hours passed, they noticed a pattern: each car left with a small crate, always escorted by one of Ellis's men.
"Drugs," Luke muttered.
"They're moving product out of here."
Daniel's fists clenched.
"We need to shut it down."
"Not yet," Luke warned.
"We don't have enough to pin this on Ellis.
We need hard evidence, photos, documents, something that ties him directly to this."
Daniel's patience was wearing thin, but he knew Luke was right.
Charging in now would only get them both killed.
The trap.
The next night, Luke suggested a bolder move: intercept one of the shipments and see what was inside.
They waited in a secluded spot along the highway, where they knew one of Ellis's cars would pass.
When the black sedan came into view, Luke pulled his truck into the road, forcing the car to swerve and stop.
Daniel jumped out, his crowbar in hand, and yanked open the driver's door.
The man inside reached for a gun, but Luke pressed a pistol to his temple.
"Don't," Luke said coldly.
They forced the driver out and opened the trunk.
Inside was a single crate, identical to the ones they'd seen at the warehouse.
Daniel pried it open, revealing dozens of tightly wrapped packages.
"Cocaine," Luke confirmed.
But there was something else, an envelope tucked among the packages.
Daniel pulled it out and opened it, his heart pounding as he read the documents inside.
It was a ledger, listing names, locations, and payments.
And at the top of the list was Ethan's name, circled in red ink.
Daniel's hands shook as he stared at the page. They marked him, Luke said grimly. Your son wasn't just investigating them. He was a target. The plan. The discovery of the ledger changed everything. Ellis's network was bigger and more organized than Daniel had imagined, but now he had proof that tied them to Ethan's murder.
We use this, Luke said, spreading the documents across the table.
We expose him.
Daniel's gaze was hard.
No. We don't just expose him. We destroy him.
Luke hesitated, then nodded.
All right. But if we're doing this, we're going all the way.
No half measures.
Daniel's jaw tightened.
All the way.
Chapter 5, A Deadly Game. Lines in the Sand. Daniel Harper wasn't the same man he'd been weeks ago. The craftsman who had once found peace in carving wood now gripped the crowbar like a lifeline, his hands calloused from more than work. His world was no longer defined by the simplicity of creating but by destruction, of lies, secrets, and the man who had stolen his son. Luke Ryder sat across from him in the workshop, his cigarette smoke curling into the air. The tension between them was thick, their plans more dangerous with each passing day.
We have the ledger, Luke said, tapping the document spread across the table.
But that's just the start. If we don't take Ellis down completely, he'll bury us before we even make a dent.
Daniel's jaw tightened.
We don't stop until he's gone.
All of it.
The network, the drugs, and everyone who let my son die.
Luke studied him, his expression unreadable.
This isn't just about justice for you anymore, is it?
No, Daniel said coldly.
It's about making sure no one else has to bury their kid because of him.
Luke nodded, stubbing out his cigarette.
All right, Harper. Let's burn it all down.
A dangerous deal.
The first step was to exploit the cracks in Ellis's network. Luke had a contact, Victor Ramos, a disgruntled dealer who had been squeezed out of Ellis's operation months earlier. Bitter and vengeful, Victor was eager to share what he knew, for a price.
Daniel and Luke met him in a seedy motel on the edge of town, the flickering neon sign outside casting eerie shadows on the walls.
Victor was a wiry man with darting eyes, his paranoia palpable.
You got the money? He asked, his voice low.
Luke tossed an envelope onto the bed.
It's all there.
Now talk.
Victor hesitated, then pulled out a crumpled map and spread it on the bed.
This is where Ellis's operation is centralized, he said, pointing to a location deep in the industrial district.
They call it the Hive.
It's where they process the shipments, keep the records, and run the whole show.
Daniel's eyes narrowed.
And Ellis?
He's there.
Victor shook his head.
Not often.
But his second in command, Carter, is.
If you want to cripple Ellis, you take out Carter.
Luke leaned forward.
What's security like?
Hi, Victor replied.
Armed guards, cameras, the works.
You're not getting in without a fight.
Daniel's gaze hardened.
Then we fight.
The plan comes together.
Back in the workshop, Daniel and Luke pieced together their strategy.
We can't just storm the place, Luke said, his tone cautious.
We need a diversion to pull the guards away.
I can handle that, Daniel said grimly.
Luke raised an eyebrow.
You sure?
This isn't like breaking into a warehouse.
These guys are killers.
Daniel's lips thinned.
So am I, if that's what it takes.
The plan was simple but dangerous. Daniel would create chaos outside the Hive to draw the guards out, while Luke infiltrated the building to steal critical documents that could tie Ellis directly to the operation.
We hit them hard and fast, Luke said.
If we're lucky, they won't know what hit them.
Daniel nodded, but his mind was already racing ahead.
Luck had nothing to do with it.
The Hive.
The Hive was a fortress of steel and concrete, its high walls topped with barbed wire. The air around it seemed thicker, the weight of its secrecy almost tangible. Daniel parked his truck a block away,
his heart pounding as he loaded the supplies he'd brought, a canister of gasoline, a crowbar, and a lighter. He glanced at Luke.
You ready?
Luke nodded. Just keep them busy. I'll handle the rest. Daniel stepped out of the truck, his breath visible in the cold night air. He moved toward the hive's outer fence, his footsteps silent. When he reached the perimeter, he doused a pile of crates with gasoline, the acrid scent stinging his nostrils. With a flick of the lighter, the fire roared to life, its glow casting dancing shadows on the walls of the hive. Shouts erupted from inside as guards scrambled to investigate the blaze. Now, Daniel muttered, slipping into the shadows as Luke made his move.
The infiltration.
Luke moved quickly, his years of experience as a private investigator coming back to him. The fire outside had drawn most of the guards away, leaving the interior vulnerable. He slipped into the main building, his steps careful and deliberate. Inside, the air was colder, the hum of machinery filling the silence. Rows of metal shelving stretched into the distance, each loaded with boxes and crates. In the center of the room, a desk sat cluttered with papers and a laptop. Luke moved toward it, his eyes scanning for anything useful. The laptop was unlocked. Luke's fingers flew across the keyboard, downloading files onto a flash drive. The documents were damning, records of shipments, payments, and Ellis's personal involvement. But just as he finished, the sound of footsteps echoed through the room. A fight for survival. Daniel watched from the shadows as two guards approached the fire he'd started. One of them cursed loudly, pulling out a walkie-talkie.
Control, we've got a fire on the east side.
Send backup. Before the second guard could respond, Daniel stepped out, swinging the crowbar with all his strength. The weapon connected with a sickening crack, and the first guard crumpled to the ground. The second guard drew his gun, but Daniel was faster, tackling him to the ground. The struggle was brutal, the guard landing a punch to Daniel's ribs before Daniel wrenched the gun from his hand and struck him with the butt of it. Both guards lay unconscious, but Daniel knew more would come. Inside the hive, Luke wasn't faring much better. The footsteps grew louder, and he ducked behind a shelf just as two men entered the room.
"You smell that?" one of them asked.
"Smoke. Someone's in here." Luke held his breath, his hand gripping the gun at his side. When the men moved closer, he stepped out, firing two quick shots. One man dropped instantly, while the other scrambled for cover. The sound of gunfire echoed through the hive, and Luke cursed under his breath. The escape. The hive erupted into chaos as more guards poured in. Luke grabbed the flash drive and bolted for the exit, his heart pounding. Outside, Daniel was waiting, his crowbar bloodied and his chest heaving.
"Move!"
Luke shouted, and the two men sprinted toward the truck. Bullets whizzed past them, shattering windows and sparking against metal. Daniel slid into the driver's seat, slamming the door as Luke dove in beside him.
"Go, go, go!"
Luke yelled. Daniel floored the gas pedal, the tires screeching as the truck tore down the street. In the rearview mirror, he saw the hive engulfed in flames, the guards scrambling to contain the chaos. They'd won this round, but Daniel knew the fight was far from over. Chapter 6, Ellis Strikes Back. The calm before the storm. Daniel Harper leaned against the hood of his truck, his chest heaving as the adrenaline began to subside. The hive was behind them, a smoldering wreck of flames and shattered glass. For the first time since Ethan's death, Daniel felt the faint stirrings of victory. Luke Ryder sat beside him, pulling a cigarette from his pocket with trembling hands. His face was pale, his movements shaky. "We hit them hard," Luke said, lighting the cigarette with a flick of his lighter.
"But you know what this means, right?"
Daniel nodded grimly. "They'll come for us." "Not just us," Luke muttered, exhaling a plume of smoke. "They'll come for anyone connected to you.
Friends.
Family. They'll dig up every piece of leverage they can find." Daniel's fists clenched. I don't have family left, Luke. Ellis already took that from me. And if he wants to dig, let him. He won't find anything I'm not willing to fight for.
Luke gave him a long look.
You'd better be ready. This isn't over, not by a long shot.
Ellis's fury.
At a sprawling mansion on the edge of Ashton Hollow, Connor Ellis sat in his private study, the glow of his computer screen illuminating his chiseled features. His expression was dark, his jaw clenched as he listened to Carter's voice crackle over the speakerphone.
They burned the warehouse, Carter said, his tone tight with controlled anger.
Stole files, took out some of our guys. It was Harper and Ryder.
Ellis's fingers drummed against the mahogany desk.
I want them found, he said, his voice low and deadly.
I don't care how much it costs.
I want them on their knees.
And the files?
Carter asked.
Ellis's eyes narrowed.
They'll try to use them.
Make sure they don't get the chance.
As the call ended, Ellis leaned back in his chair, his mind racing. Harper was becoming a problem, and problems needed to be eliminated.
A new target.
The next morning, Daniel and Luke regrouped in the workshop. The stolen files were spread across the table, the flash drive plugged into an old laptop. The evidence was damning: shipping manifests, transaction records, and direct links to Ellis's personal accounts.
This is enough to bury him, Luke said, scrolling through the files.
If we get this to the right people, Ellis is done.
Who?
Daniel asked.
The cops?
They're in his pocket.
The press?
He'll silence them before they even publish a story.
Luke hesitated, then nodded.
You're right.
We need someone outside the system.
As they debated their next move, a sharp knock at the workshop door made them freeze.
Daniel grabbed the crowbar, motioning for Luke to stay quiet.
He approached the door cautiously, peering through the crack.
Standing outside was Deputy Sullivan, his face drawn and pale.
What do you want?
Daniel asked, opening the door just enough to see him.
Sullivan raised his hands in a gesture of peace.
I'm not here to arrest you, Harper. I'm here to warn you.
Daniel narrowed his eyes.
Warn me about what?
Sullivan glanced over his shoulder, his voice dropping to a whisper.
Ellis knows you hit the hive.
He's putting a bounty on you and Ryder.
Anyone who brings him your heads gets a payday big enough to retire on.
Daniel's grip tightened on the doorframe.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I didn't sign up to watch my town turn into a war zone, Sullivan muttered.
And because I owe Ethan.
He was a good kid.
Daniel stared at him for a long moment, then nodded.
Thanks for the warning.
Sullivan hesitated.
If you're smart, you'll run.
Get as far away from here as you can.
Daniel's eyes burned with quiet fury.
Running's not an option.
A deadly trap.
Later that day, Luke received a call from one of his old informants, a man named Ray, who claimed to have information on Ellis's next move.
He's holding a meeting tomorrow night at the old paper mill, Ray said.
Big players, high stakes.
If you hit him there, you could cripple the whole operation.
Luke hung up and relayed the information to Daniel.
It's a trap, Daniel said immediately.
Probably, Luke admitted.
But it's also a chance to hit him where it hurts.
Daniel nodded slowly.
Then we go.
But we do it on our terms.
The paper mill.
The paper mill was a sprawling, decrepit structure on the edge of town, its broken windows and rusted machinery giving it an air of eerie abandonment.
Daniel and Luke arrived under the cover of darkness, parking their truck a mile away and approaching on foot.
They moved silently through the shadows, their breaths visible in the cold night air.
From a distance, they could see the mill's interior glowing with light.
Vehicles surrounded the building, and armed men patrolled the perimeter.
Luke pulled out a pair of binoculars, scanning the scene.
Ellis isn't here, he muttered.
Carter is, though.
And it looks like they're gearing up for something big. Drugs? Daniel asked.
Luke shook his head.
Guns. Those crates, they're moving weapons now.
Daniel's fists clenched.
Then we take it all down.
The ambush.
The plan was simple: create chaos, steal critical documents, and escape before reinforcements arrived. Daniel and Luke moved toward the loading dock, where a stack of crates sat unattended. Luke worked quickly, planting small homemade explosives on the crates while Daniel kept watch. As they retreated to a safe distance, Luke handed Daniel the detonator.
Ready?
Luke asked. Daniel pressed the button without hesitation. The explosion rocked the mill, flames licking the sky as the crates erupted. Shouts and gunfire filled the air as the guards scrambled to contain the chaos. But Daniel and Luke weren't done. They moved deeper into the mill, using the confusion to their advantage. In the chaos, Daniel found Carter near the main office, shouting orders into a radio.
"You!"
Daniel growled, his voice cutting through the noise. Carter turned, his eyes widening as he recognized him.
"Harper."
Daniel didn't give him time to react. He charged, tackling Carter to the ground. The two men grappled, trading brutal blows as the flames roared around them.
"You killed my son!"
Daniel shouted, his fists slamming into Carter's face. Carter sneered, blood dripping from his mouth.
"Your son was a pest.
Just like you." Daniel's vision blurred with rage. He grabbed a broken piece of wood and drove it into Carter's chest, the man's sneer fading as his body went limp.
"The cost of revenge."
Luke found Daniel minutes later, standing over Carter's lifeless body.
"It's done," Daniel muttered, his voice hollow.
Luke grabbed his arm.
"We have to go.
Now." As they fled the burning mill, Daniel felt no triumph, only a deep, gnawing emptiness. Ellis was still out there, and the war was far from over. Chapter 7, The Enemy Within. A world on fire. The paper mill smoldered in the distance as Daniel Harper and Luke Ryder fled the scene. The acrid stench of smoke clung to their clothes, and their muscles ached from the night's brutal combat. Carter was dead, but Ellis's network still stood, like a hydra waiting to regrow its severed head. They parked the truck in a wooded area off the main road, sitting in tense silence as the first rays of dawn began to pierce the horizon.
"You know this is just the beginning," Luke muttered, breaking the quiet.
Daniel nodded, his gaze fixed on the rising sun.
"I don't care how many of them there are. I'll take down every last one if I have to."
Luke sighed, running a hand through his hair.
"Killing Carter sent a message, sure.
But Ellis isn't going to fold. He's going to come after us, and it's not going to be subtle."
Daniel's jaw tightened.
"Good.
Let him come.
Ellis's next move." At the Ellis mansion, the atmosphere was tense. Connor Ellis paced his office, his fists clenched as Carter's death replayed in his mind. The paper mill had been one of his most critical operations, and now it was nothing but ashes. He turned to his enforcer, Marcus Kane, a hulking man with a reputation for brutality.
"Harper's made this personal," Ellis said, his voice dangerously calm.
"He's not just some grieving father anymore.
He's a threat."
Marcus smirked.
"You want him dead?"
Ellis shook his head.
"Not yet.
Killing him outright makes him a martyr.
I want him to suffer.
I want him to see everything he cares about burn to the ground."
"And Ryder?"
Marcus asked.
"Kill him," Ellis said flatly.
"But Harper?"
"Harper gets special attention.
The warning comes too late." Back in Ashton Hollow, Daniel returned to his workshop to regroup. The place was his sanctuary, but now it felt like a trap. Every creak of the floorboards made his heart race, every shadow seemed to conceal an unseen enemy. Luke was on edge too, pacing the workshop as they tried to formulate their next move.
"We have the files," Luke said, gesturing to the laptop.
"We could expose Ellis right now. Leak this to the press, send it to every law enforcement agency we can find.
And then what? Daniel asked bitterly. You think anyone's going to take him down based on this?
The system's rigged, Luke. If we want justice, we have to deliver it ourselves.
Luke opened his mouth to argue, but the sound of a car pulling up outside stopped him cold.
Daniel grabbed his crowbar, motioning for Luke to stay silent.
He peered through the window and saw a familiar figure stepping out of the car, Deputy Sullivan.
Sullivan.
Daniel muttered, confused. He opened the door cautiously, keeping the crowbar at his side.
You shouldn't be here, Daniel said.
Sullivan's face was pale, sweat beading on his forehead.
I came to warn you.
Ellis knows you killed Carter.
He's sending someone after you.
You need to get out of here now.
We're not running, Daniel said firmly.
Sullivan shook his head.
You don't get it, Harper. This isn't just some thug he's sending.
It's Marcus Kane. The name sent a chill down Daniel's spine.
He'd heard of Kane before, a man who thrived on violence, a shadowy enforcer whispered about in hushed tones.
How much time do we have?
Daniel asked.
Sullivan hesitated.
Not much.
Maybe hours.
Maybe less.
Luke cursed under his breath.
We need to move.
No, Daniel said, his voice steel.
We stand our ground.
The trap is set.
Daniel and Luke spent the next hour fortifying the workshop.
They boarded up windows, rigged makeshift traps, and armed themselves with whatever weapons they could find.
You're insane, Luke muttered as he tested the weight of a sledgehammer.
No, Daniel said, his gaze cold.
I'm ready.
The workshop became a fortress, every corner a potential weapon.
As the sun dipped below the horizon, the air grew heavy with anticipation.
Sullivan stayed behind, his nerves frayed but his resolve firm.
I can call for backup, he offered.
No cops, Daniel said sharply.
If they show up, they'll only get in the way.
Sullivan nodded reluctantly.
The attack.
The first sign of the assault came with the sound of tires crunching on gravel.
Headlights illuminated the darkened road, and Daniel's heart began to pound.
They're here, he said quietly.
The SUV rolled to a stop outside the workshop, its engine rumbling like a predator stalking its prey.
The doors opened, and four men stepped out, their silhouettes tall and menacing.
At the center of them was Marcus Kane.
He was a giant of a man, his broad shoulders and scarred face giving him the appearance of a beast.
In his hand, he carried a shotgun, its barrel gleaming under the moonlight.
Harper.
Kane called, his voice booming.
You've caused a lot of trouble.
Time to pay the price.
Daniel didn't respond.
Instead, he waited, crouched behind an overturned workbench, his crowbar gripped tightly.
Kane signaled to his men, and they began to approach the workshop, their weapons drawn.
The fight.
The first man stepped through the door, his flashlight cutting through the darkness.
He barely had time to react before Daniel swung the crowbar, the metal connecting with a sickening crack.
The man crumpled to the ground, and chaos erupted.
Gunfire tore through the workshop, shattering tools and sending splinters flying.
Luke returned fire with a pistol, hitting one of the attackers in the leg.
Kane entered next, his presence dominating the room.
He fired his shotgun, the blast sending Daniel diving for cover.
You think you can take me?
Kane roared, his voice filled with savage glee.
Daniel gritted his teeth, his mind racing.
He needed to end this quickly.
A battle to the death.
The fight was brutal, every moment a desperate struggle for survival.
Kane moved like a predator, his shotgun blasting apart everything in his path.
But Daniel was relentless.
He used the traps they'd set, tripwires, nails, and even the gasoline-soaked rags, to slow Kane and his men down.
One by one, the attackers fell, until only Kane remained.
Daniel faced him in the center of the workshop, the crowbar in his hands and fury burning in his eyes. Kane smirked.
You've got guts, Harper. I'll give you that.
You took my son, Daniel growled.
Now I'm taking you.
The two men clashed, their weapons colliding with brutal force. Kane's strength was overwhelming, but Daniel's rage gave him an edge. With a final, desperate swing, Daniel struck Kane across the head, the crowbar bending under the impact. Kane staggered, blood streaming down his face, before collapsing to the ground. The aftermath. The workshop was a wreck, the air thick with smoke and the stench of blood.
Daniel stood over Kane's lifeless body, his chest heaving as exhaustion set in.
Luke limped over, his face pale.
You all right?
Daniel nodded, though his hands trembled.
It's not over.
Ellis is still out there.
Luke placed a hand on his shoulder.
Then we finish this.
Together.
Chapter 8, Into the Lion's Den. After the battle. The air in the workshop was thick with smoke and the coppery scent of blood.
Daniel Harper sat on an overturned workbench, his crowbar resting across his knees.
The adrenaline had drained from his body, leaving behind a profound exhaustion that settled into his bones.
Marcus Kane's lifeless body lay sprawled in the center of the workshop, his hulking frame a grim reminder of what Daniel had faced and survived.
Luke Ryder leaned against the wall, clutching his side where a stray bullet had grazed him.
His face was pale, his eyes glassy with pain.
You all right?
Daniel asked, his voice hoarse.
Luke gave a weak nod.
I'll live.
But we can't stay here.
Daniel glanced around the wreckage of his once orderly workshop. The place that had been his sanctuary was now a battlefield.
The thought made his stomach churn, but Luke was right.
We leave tonight, Daniel said.
No more waiting.
Luke raised an eyebrow.
And go where?
Daniel's eyes burned with determination.
Straight to Ellis.
Ellis tightens his grip.
At the Ellis mansion, the air was tense.
Connor Ellis stood at the head of a long table, his inner circle seated before him.
The loss of Marcus Kane had been a blow, but it was one Ellis refused to let show.
Harper's making this personal, Ellis said, his voice cold and calculated.
He's not just coming after us.
He's dismantling everything I've built.
One of his lieutenants shifted uncomfortably.
With all due respect, sir, Kane was our best.
If he couldn't stop Harper, what makes you think we can?
Ellis's gaze snapped to the man, his expression icy.
You're not paid to doubt me.
You're paid to follow orders.
The room fell silent.
Ellis leaned forward, his hands pressed against the table.
Harper thinks he's untouchable.
But he's only a man, and men break.
I want him found.
I want every contact, every safe house, every ally of his burned to the ground.
Leave him with nothing.
And when we find him, another lieutenant asked.
Ellis smirked, his voice dropping to a deadly whisper.
Bring him to me alive.
I want to finish this myself.
The journey begins.
Daniel and Luke packed what little they could carry and left the workshop under the cover of darkness.
They knew staying in Ashton Hollow wasn't an option, Ellis's men would descend on the town like a plague, and anyone caught in their path would suffer.
Their destination was a warehouse on the outskirts of the city, a location Luke's contacts had identified as one of Ellis's primary strongholds.
If they could infiltrate it, they might find the leverage they needed to bring Ellis down for good.
The drive was long and tense.
The highway stretched endlessly before them, the headlights carving a path through the oppressive darkness.
Neither man spoke much, the weight of their mission hanging heavily in the air.
As they approached the city, Luke broke the silence.
You know this is suicide, right?
Daniel's grip on the steering wheel tightened.
I don't care.
This ends with Ellis.
One way or another.
A dangerous stakeout.
The warehouse loomed in the distance, a massive structure surrounded by high fences and security cameras.
From their vantage point on a nearby hill, Daniel and Luke watched as trucks came and went, each vehicle flanked by armed guards. This place is a fortress, Luke muttered, lowering his binoculars.
Daniel nodded.
That's why it's perfect. Ellis won't expect us to go straight for the heart of his operation.
Luke frowned.
It's not just about getting in. We need a plan for getting out too.
Daniel didn't respond.
His focus was fixed on the warehouse, his mind already running through the possibilities.
All right, Luke said after a long pause.
We'll need a distraction. Something to pull the guards away from the main entrance.
Daniel's lips curled into a grim smile.
I think I can manage that.
The infiltration.
That night, they made their move. Daniel approached the warehouse from the east side, a backpack slung over his shoulder. Inside was a homemade explosive device, small enough to avoid catastrophic damage but powerful enough to cause chaos.
Luke stayed on the west side, waiting for Daniel's signal.
His job was to slip inside during the confusion and locate the office where Ellis's records were stored. As Daniel crouched near the fence, he glanced at his watch.
It was time.
He placed the explosive near a stack of crates and set the timer. The device emitted a faint beep as the countdown began. Daniel retreated into the shadows, his heart pounding in his chest. The explosion ripped through the night, a thunderous roar that shook the ground. Flames erupted from the crates, casting an orange glow across the warehouse yard. Shouts echoed as guards scrambled to contain the fire.
Go, Daniel muttered into his radio.
On the west side, Luke slipped through a side door, his movements quick and silent. The interior of the warehouse was dimly lit, the hum of machinery filling the air. He moved toward the office, his eyes scanning for cameras and guards.
Ellis's web.
Inside the office, Luke found what they were looking for: file cabinets stuffed with documents, ledgers spread across the desk, and a laptop glowing faintly in the darkness. He worked quickly, downloading files onto a flash drive and photographing key documents. Each piece of evidence painted a damning picture of Ellis's empire: bribes, trafficking, even links to law enforcement and political figures. But as Luke worked, a sound made him freeze. Footsteps echoed outside the office, growing louder with each passing second. Luke ducked behind the desk, his pistol drawn. The door creaked open, and a guard stepped inside, his flashlight sweeping the room. Luke held his breath, his finger on the trigger. The guard paused near the desk, his light lingering on the scattered papers. Luke waited for the perfect moment, then lunged, slamming the butt of his pistol into the guard's temple. The man crumpled silently to the floor.
Got it, Luke muttered into the radio.
Heading out.
A narrow escape.
As Luke made his way back toward the exit, the chaos outside intensified. The fire had spread to several vehicles, and guards were shouting orders, their movements frantic. Daniel watched from the shadows, his crowbar at the ready. When he spotted Luke slipping through the west gate, he emerged from his hiding spot.
Let's go, Daniel said, his voice low.
They sprinted toward their truck, their breaths ragged. Bullets whizzed past them, and Daniel felt a sharp pain in his shoulder as one grazed him.
Keep moving.
Luke shouted, firing a few shots over his shoulder. They reached the truck and dove inside as the guards closed in. Daniel slammed his foot on the gas, the tires screeching as they sped away.
A Pyrrhic victory.
Back on the highway, Daniel and Luke sat in tense silence. The flash drive in Luke's hand felt heavier than it should have, its contents a potential death sentence for Connor Ellis.
We've got what we need, Luke said finally.
This is enough to bury him. Daniel stared at the road ahead, his jaw clenched.
Not yet.
Not until he pays for what he did to Ethan.
Luke sighed.
We're running out of time, Harper.
He's not going to wait for us to make the next move.
Daniel's eyes burned with determination.
Good.
Let him come.
I'll be ready.
Chapter 9, The Noose Tightens.
A temporary respite.
Daniel Harper parked the truck behind an abandoned barn on the outskirts of Ashton Hollow. The air was still, but tension lingered, pressing against the walls of their makeshift hideout like a storm waiting to break. Luke Ryder leaned back in the passenger seat, the flash drive in his hand glinting faintly under the moonlight.
"We've got the files. Every dirty deal, every bribe, every murder tied to Ellis. This is enough to destroy him."
Daniel stared ahead, his hands gripping the steering wheel.
"It's not enough until he's dead."
Luke turned to him, his expression weary.
"Harper, listen to me. We can take this to the press, to someone outside his reach. Let them deal with him.
You're running yourself into the ground chasing revenge."
Daniel's voice was ice.
"He killed my son. If I don't finish this, who will?"
Luke sighed, pocketing the flash drive.
"Then we'd better come up with a plan. Because Ellis won't wait for us to make the next move.
Ellis's counterstrike."
At the Ellis mansion, Connor Ellis stood in his study, staring out the window at the sprawling grounds below. The faint sound of gunfire echoed from the shooting range where his men trained relentlessly. Carter's death and the warehouse attack had rattled his empire, and the cracks were starting to show. But Ellis wasn't a man who folded under pressure. Marcus Kane's replacement, a cold and methodical enforcer named Dane Voss, entered the room, his presence commanding attention.
"We've tracked Harper and Ryder to the outskirts of town," Dane said, his tone calm and confident.
"They're using an old barn as a hideout."
Ellis turned, his lips curling into a dangerous smile.
"Perfect.
Surround the area.
Flush them out like rats.
I want Harper alive, and I want Ryder eliminated."
Dane nodded.
"Consider it done."
Ellis poured himself a glass of whiskey, the amber liquid catching the light.
"Harper thinks he's untouchable," he said, almost to himself.
"But no one escapes me.
No one.
The calm before the storm."
Back at the barn, Daniel and Luke reviewed the stolen files one last time. The names on the documents read like a who's who of corruption: judges, law enforcement, politicians, all on Ellis's payroll.
"This isn't just a local operation," Luke muttered, scrolling through the files.
"He's got connections in three states.
Drugs, weapons, human trafficking, he's into everything."
Daniel's jaw tightened.
"And it all leads back to him."
A faint noise outside made both men freeze. Daniel grabbed the crowbar he'd kept by his side since the warehouse attack, while Luke reached for his pistol.
They moved silently to the barn doors, peering through the cracks.
The moonlit field stretched out before them, empty and still.
But Daniel's instincts told him they weren't alone.
"They're here," he whispered.
"The siege begins."
The first shot shattered the silence, a bullet tearing through the barn's wooden walls.
Luke dove for cover, dragging Daniel with him as more gunfire erupted.
"They've got us surrounded," Luke said, his voice tight.
Daniel's mind raced.
The barn was old and falling apart, offering little protection.
Their truck was parked behind the building, but reaching it would mean crossing open ground under a hail of bullets.
"They're trying to flush us out," Daniel said, his voice low.
"Then we make them regret it," Luke replied, cocking his pistol.
A fight for survival.
The gunfire intensified, the attackers moving closer with each volley.
Daniel and Luke returned fire, using the barn's limited cover to their advantage.
One of Ellis's men kicked open the side door, his weapon raised.
Daniel swung the crowbar with all his strength, the metal connecting with the man's skull in a sickening crunch.
Another attacker climbed through a broken window, but Luke was ready.
He fired two quick shots, dropping the man before he could raise his gun.
The barn's wooden beams groaned under the strain of the assault, and smoke began to fill the air as a Molotov cocktail ignited one of the walls.
"They're trying to burn us out,"
Luke shouted.
Daniel grabbed a bucket of water from a nearby shelf, dousing the flames as best he could.
"We can't stay here.
We need to move."
Luke nodded, reloading his pistol.
"We make a run for the truck.
On my signal.
The escape."
Luke threw open the barn's back door and fired wildly into the darkness, forcing the attackers to scatter.
"Go," he shouted.
Daniel bolted for the truck, his legs burning as bullets zipped past him. He reached the driver's seat and started the engine as Luke dove into the passenger side. The truck roared to life, its tires kicking up dirt as Daniel floored the gas pedal. Behind them, Ellis's men gave chase, their vehicle's headlights cutting through the night. The chase. The narrow dirt road twisted through the forest, the truck's headlights illuminating the trees as Daniel pushed the vehicle to its limits. Luke leaned out of the passenger window, firing at their pursuers. A bullet shattered one of the side mirrors, and Daniel swerved to avoid a spike strip laid across the road.
"They're not letting up," Luke shouted.
Daniel's eyes scanned the road ahead, searching for an opening. He spotted a narrow bridge up ahead, its wooden planks barely visible in the darkness.
"Hold on," he said, gripping the wheel tightly.
The truck barreled onto the bridge, the wooden boards creaking under its weight. As they reached the other side, Daniel jerked the wheel sharply, sending the truck skidding into the trees. The pursuing vehicles didn't see the maneuver in time. The lead car slammed into the side of the bridge, flipping over and bursting into flames. The remaining cars screeched to a halt, their occupants scrambling to regroup. Daniel and Luke watched from the shadows, their breaths heavy.
"We lost them," Luke said, his voice filled with disbelief.
"For now," Daniel replied.
"But they'll be back.
A new plan." Once they were sure the coast was clear, Daniel and Luke drove to a secluded motel, their exhaustion palpable. Inside the room, Luke plugged the flash drive into a laptop, scrolling through the files again.
"We can't keep running," Luke said.
"We need to make our move before they regroup."
Daniel nodded.
"We take this to someone who can help.
Someone outside Ellis's reach."
Luke frowned.
"You have someone in mind?"
Daniel's gaze was cold and unwavering.
"Not someone.
Something.
We leak it all.
Publicly."
Chapter 10, The Public Gambit. A fragile sanctuary. The motel room was suffocatingly small, the walls yellowed with age and the air thick with the scent of mildew. Daniel Harper and Luke Ryder sat at a chipped table, the glow from Luke's laptop casting faint shadows across their weary faces. The flash drive lay between them, a tiny object containing the potential to dismantle Ellis's empire, or bring more destruction into their lives.
"We can't keep this hidden forever," Luke said, breaking the silence.
"If we don't move fast, Ellis will find us again."
Daniel leaned back, his arms crossed. His face was a mask of exhaustion and resolve.
"So what's the play? Who do we trust with this?"
Luke exhaled slowly.
"No one local.
We leak it to the national press.
Somewhere with enough reach that Ellis can't just sweep it under the rug."
Daniel nodded, his jaw tightening.
"We go public.
No more hiding.
Ellis in retreat." Meanwhile, at the Ellis mansion, the tension was palpable. Connor Ellis sat in his study, his composure fraying as reports of the failed siege reached him.
"Harper slipped through again," Dane Voss said, standing stiffly by the door.
"Ryder's with him.
They've disappeared."
Ellis slammed his fist against the desk, his whiskey glass shattering under the impact.
"How do two men keep outsmarting an entire network?"
"I pay you to ensure this doesn't happen."
Dane remained stoic, though a flicker of unease crossed his face.
"They're desperate, sir.
Desperate people are dangerous."
Ellis took a deep breath, trying to steady himself.
"If they're desperate, they'll make mistakes.
And when they do, we'll crush them."
Dane hesitated.
"There's more.
We intercepted chatter.
They're planning to go public, with everything."
Ellis's eyes narrowed, his fury shifting into cold calculation.
"Then we shut them down before they get the chance."
"No loose ends, Dane."
"None."
"The upload."
Daniel and Luke worked late into the night, sorting through the stolen files. Each piece of evidence painted a damning picture of Ellis's empire, photos of shipments, payment records, emails implicating high-ranking officials.
"It's all here," Luke said, his fingers flying across the keyboard.
"This isn't just enough to take down Ellis, it's enough to expose everyone connected to him."
Daniel's eyes burned as he stared at the screen.
"Then let's do it." Luke accessed a secure server, uploading the files to multiple encrypted platforms.
They sent the information to major news outlets, whistleblower sites, and trusted journalists known for their integrity.
As the upload progress bar ticked toward 100%, Daniel felt a strange mix of relief and dread.
They were finally taking the fight to Ellis, but they were also painting an even bigger target on their backs.
Ellis's retaliation.
The news broke at dawn.
Major networks ran stories exposing Ellis's operations, his name splashed across headlines alongside words like corruption, trafficking, and murder.
The fallout was immediate.
Ellis's business associates began cutting ties, his assets were frozen, and his name became synonymous with scandal.
But while the public celebrated the takedown of a powerful criminal, Daniel and Luke knew the battle was far from over.
Ellis's retaliation came swiftly.
By midday, the motel's phone rang.
Daniel picked it up cautiously, his knuckles whitening as a cold, familiar voice greeted him.
"Harper," Ellis said, his tone smooth and venomous.
"You've been busy."
Daniel didn't respond, his grip tightening on the receiver.
"I have to admit," Ellis continued, "you've done more damage than I expected.
But don't think for a second that this is over.
You've made it personal, and now I'm going to do the same."
The line went dead, leaving Daniel with a cold pit in his stomach.
The safe house.
Luke was already packing when Daniel returned to the room.
"We can't stay here," Luke said without looking up.
"Ellis will have our location by now."
"Where do we go?"
Daniel asked, his voice tense.
Luke paused, then pulled out a folded map.
"I know a place.
It's isolated, off the grid.
We can regroup there and figure out our next move."
Daniel nodded, grabbing his bag.
"Let's move."
The drive to the safe house was long and tense.
The roads were empty, but every shadow felt like a threat, every passing car a potential enemy.
When they finally arrived, the safe house was little more than a cabin in the woods, surrounded by dense trees and silence.
"It's not much," Luke admitted, "but it's secure."
Daniel surveyed the cabin, his mind already racing with plans.
"It'll do.
A new threat."
As night fell, Daniel and Luke worked to secure the cabin.
They reinforced the windows, set up rudimentary alarms, and prepared for the inevitable.
But the first threat didn't come in the form of bullets or men with guns.
It came as a whisper.
Daniel woke in the middle of the night, a strange sound pulling him from sleep.
He sat up, his heart pounding as he strained to hear.
"Harper."
The voice was faint, almost a hiss, but it sent a chill down his spine.
He grabbed the crowbar from beside the bed and moved cautiously toward the window.
Outside, the forest was still, the moonlight casting long shadows across the ground.
"Harper," the voice came again, closer this time.
Daniel's breath hitched.
He swung the door open, stepping onto the porch, his crowbar raised.
"Show yourself," he shouted, his voice cutting through the silence.
The forest remained still.
The unseen enemy.
By morning, Daniel convinced himself the voice had been a product of exhaustion and paranoia. But the unease lingered, a gnawing feeling that something was watching them.
Luke noticed it too.
"Feels like we're being hunted," he muttered as they reinforced the cabin's defenses.
Daniel nodded grimly.
"We are.
But Ellis doesn't scare me.
He's running out of time, and he knows it.
The final warning."
That evening, as Daniel and Luke reviewed their dwindling supplies, they heard the low rumble of an approaching vehicle.
Luke grabbed his pistol, and Daniel raised his crowbar as the sound grew louder.
The car stopped just beyond the tree line, its headlights cutting through the darkness.
A figure stepped out, carrying something in their hands.
"Stay here," Daniel said, moving toward the door. He stepped onto the porch as the figure approached, his weapon at the ready. The figure stopped a few feet away, setting a small box on the ground before retreating.
"Consider this a message," the man said before disappearing into the darkness.
Daniel stared at the box, dread curling in his stomach.
He approached cautiously, his breath shallow. When he opened it, his blood ran cold. Inside was a single photograph of Ethan, his face circled in red ink, with the words, "You can't protect him," scrawled across the bottom.
Chapter 11, The Final Descent.
The photograph. Daniel Harper stared at the photograph of Ethan, the words, "You can't protect him," burned into his mind. His fingers trembled as he clutched the image, the edges creasing under the pressure.
Luke Ryder stood behind him, his pistol drawn as he scanned the tree line.
"They know where we are," Luke muttered, his voice tight.
"We need to leave.
Now."
Daniel didn't respond. His eyes remained locked on the photo, the ink circle around Ethan's face mocking him.
"Daniel!"
Luke barked, snapping him back to reality.
Daniel looked up, his expression hardening.
"We're not running this time."
Luke groaned, pacing the porch.
"We're sitting ducks here.
Ellis sent that as a warning, and you know what comes next."
"Exactly," Daniel said, his voice cold.
"Let him come.
I'm done hiding.
The calm before the storm."
The next hours passed in tense preparation.
Daniel and Luke fortified the cabin further, boarding up windows and creating makeshift barricades.
"You sure about this?"
Luke asked as he set up tripwires along the perimeter.
Daniel nodded, his jaw tight.
"Ellis has taken everything from me.
My son, my life, he doesn't get to win."
Luke sighed, loading his pistol.
"You're a stubborn bastard, Harper.
I'll give you that."
As night fell, the forest grew eerily quiet.
The usual sounds of crickets and distant owls were replaced by an oppressive silence that made the hair on the back of Daniel's neck stand up.
"They're coming," he said quietly, gripping the crowbar.
"The siege begins."
The first sound was subtle, the crunch of boots on gravel.
Then came the faint hum of engines, the headlights of multiple vehicles piercing the darkness.
Luke peered through the barricaded window, his face pale.
"They brought the whole damn army."
SUVs surrounded the cabin, their doors opening in unison as armed men poured out.
At the center of it all was Connor Ellis, his tailored suit pristine even in the chaos.
He stood by one of the vehicles, his expression calm and confident.
"Harper."
Ellis called, his voice carrying over the clearing.
"You've caused me a lot of trouble, but it ends tonight.
Come out, and I might let you live."
Daniel stepped to the window, his eyes blazing with fury.
"You want me, Ellis?
Come and get me."
Ellis smirked, gesturing to his men.
"Burn it down.
A fight for survival."
The first Molotov cocktail shattered against the cabin's roof, igniting the dry wood in seconds.
Flames licked at the edges of the building, and smoke began to fill the air.
Luke fired through a crack in the barricade, hitting one of the attackers.
"We can't stay in here much longer," he shouted.
Daniel grabbed a bucket of water and doused the flames creeping toward the front door.
"We hold the line."
The attackers moved closer, their gunfire tearing through the walls.
One man tried to breach the back entrance, but Daniel was ready.
He swung the crowbar with brutal precision, the weapon connecting with a sickening crunch.
"Harper."
Ellis's voice called again, more mocking this time.
"You're only delaying the inevitable."
Ellis enters the fray.
As the firefight raged on, Ellis grew impatient.
He signaled to Dane Voss, his new enforcer, who moved toward the cabin with surgical precision.
Dane was a shadow in the chaos, his movements quiet and deliberate.
He slipped through the smoke and found an unguarded window, climbing inside the cabin without a sound.
Daniel didn't see him until it was too late.
Dane's massive form loomed behind him, and before Daniel could react, a heavy blow sent him sprawling to the ground. "You've been a thorn in my side for too long," Dane growled, raising a knife.
Daniel rolled to the side just as the blade came down, the tip grazing his arm. He kicked upward, knocking Dane off balance. The two men grappled, their movements frantic and brutal.
Luke's sacrifice.
Meanwhile, Luke was pinned down near the front door, his ammunition running low. He saw Ellis's men moving closer, their weapons raised. Realizing he wouldn't make it out alive, Luke made a split-second decision. He grabbed the last explosive they'd rigged and stepped into the open.
"Hey!"
Luke shouted, drawing their attention. As the attackers turned toward him, he threw the explosive at their feet. The blast rocked the clearing, sending bodies flying and lighting up the night. Luke's body crumpled to the ground, blood pooling beneath him. The final confrontation. Inside the cabin, Daniel delivered a final, desperate blow to Dane, the crowbar smashing against the side of his head. Dane collapsed, his body motionless. Daniel staggered to his feet, his vision blurry and his body aching. He grabbed the crowbar and stumbled outside, where Ellis stood alone amidst the carnage.
"It's over, Harper," Ellis said, his tone calm.
"You've lost." Daniel raised the crowbar, his hands shaking.
"You took everything from me.
My son, my life. I'm not letting you walk away." Ellis smirked, pulling a gun from his jacket.
"You're out of your depth. You think you can take on someone like me?"
Daniel didn't answer. He lunged, the crowbar swinging with all his strength. The two men clashed in a brutal, chaotic fight. Ellis's polished demeanor crumbled as he struggled against Daniel's raw fury. With a final, savage strike, Daniel drove the crowbar into Ellis's chest. The crime lord's eyes widened in shock as he fell to the ground, blood pooling around him. Daniel stood over him, his breath ragged.
"This is for Ethan," he said quietly.
The aftermath. The sun rose over the clearing, casting light on the destruction. The cabin was a smoldering ruin, and the bodies of Ellis's men lay scattered like fallen soldiers. Daniel knelt beside Luke's body, his hands shaking as he closed his friend's eyes.
"You didn't have to do this," he whispered.
"But thank you." The sound of sirens broke the silence, and Daniel looked up to see police cars and ambulances approaching. Deputy Sullivan stepped out of the lead car, his face a mixture of shock and relief.
"Harper, what the hell happened here?"
Daniel dropped the crowbar, his shoulders slumping.
"It's over," he said simply.
Sullivan nodded, signaling to the other officers.
"We'll take it from here."
As the paramedics tended to his wounds, Daniel stared at the rising sun. He'd lost so much, but for the first time in weeks, he felt a glimmer of peace. Ethan's death had been avenged, and Ellis's reign of terror was finally over.